Saints, we're going to go right back to where we left off this morning. Maybe a little bit of review, but let's go over to John 14 and 27. John 14 and 27. This morning it got very warm in here. It seems warm and close tonight. You might want to crack some of those windows, maybe let a little bit of air come through. I know it gets warm up here in the up on the platform more than it does down amongst the pews. But it can be just as unhealthy being too warm than it is too cold, okay? So I don't feel like we're going to turn the air conditioner on, all right? I'd really have you complaining if I turned the air conditioner on. So that'll just cause us to have a little more social distancing. We won't have to be sitting so close like these girls do. I don't know if they could get any more close than what they do. I'm sure they could. But it just seems so unhealthy to do that, okay? All right, John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The impact and influence of advice depend upon our opinion of the advisor. Now the counselor speaking in our text is the Lord Jesus, who is entirely informed, thoroughly concerned, full of truth as well as full of mercy, and most assuredly touched by our troubles. May we sincerely consider what Paul wrote in Hebrews 2 and 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Title of the message, two-part message, Sound Advice in Troubled Times. Sound Advice in Troubled Times with the subtitle, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I hope what you heard this morning was influential. I hope this morning it was impactful. Not because it was me preaching it, I'm just the messenger. But as I've told you before, I want you people to be convinced that you're hearing from God. When I stand in this pulpit and bring my burden to you, I want you to realize that you are hearing from God Himself. And God's word is exactly what we need at all times, and it is that which will supply a great need in the current time and the dangers and the perils that we're facing individually, as families, congregation, as a country. As we had prayer, we also then need to honor God by submitting to His word and respectfully receiving His advice to us. Amen. Submit to it, obey it, believe it. This morning we started off by talking about this high priest of ours. What a high priest. Entered into the heavens, sits at the right hand of the Father. He is touched with our infirmities. He was tempted in every point like you and I, amen, yet without sin. And He is touched with everything that we go through. He knows, He understands. Knowing this, and we'll deal with this a little bit later towards the end of our thoughts tonight, knowing this and being assured of it, okay, will help us to hold on to our profession of faith, our profession of faith. As people of God, we should profess faith in God, faith in the rock. Amen. Amen. And therefore, as we have that assurance and we have that knowledge, we ought to be able to come boldly to God and ask for whatever we need, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Amen. And He is the God of all mercy. He's the God of all grace. That is our Savior. That's our Counselor. Use the scripture in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, and where he was born. He was born many things, but amongst those things that he is deserves the title, he was born counselor. I asked the question, do you possess a power of control over your own heart? And I think that was a very fair and honest question. Men, we know that in the day and age we live in, these last months, and as this comes closer to our region, we know that those that do not have true faith, a lot of people profess to have faith in God, but there's not many people that have a true faith in God, know how to exercise that faith. They have a form of godliness, but no power. It is important for us to control our hearts, or less our hearts will fail us because of fear. And we see the spirit of fear, unbelief, panic, dread, just sweeping our country, sweeping the populace. But I made the point that you can't govern that or control that peace that God's given to you in your heart and exercise it as he would have you to, unless you are able to control your thoughts. It's very important. It's important that we think right. It's important that we do not allow our minds to get into captivated with the spirit of fear. Again, fear, panic, dread. And as I was in my exhortation it was actually during prayer requests, some admonition. Some of you are predisposed. You're kind of inclined to pick up the flu easily. You get sick easily. You probably know that. I get sick more than my share of the time. Some of you can say that. But some of you also are predisposed to think on things you ought not to think on. And it causes you a lot of trouble. You just think on some of the most confounding things. You think on some of the most things that really, they aren't truthful. They're not truthful. The devil feeds you with a bunch of thoughts, and then your perception of things isn't accurate, and the devil's there to stir it all up in your mind, and before too long, your thought process has hindered you from tapping the peace, amen, which is within your heart. Some of you need to listen to me right now, because you're the ones that come to the altar whose minds are all messed up and you're not thinking right. I get to a point that you need to hear, you get preoccupied in your pew. Why is it that way? Have some control over your thought process. Realize what's important. You're going to need this. You're probably going to need it tomorrow. If you don't need it tonight, some of your minds can go in such places, and you can think of things that are happening to you, and persecution that's coming your way, and all sorts of different things that are going on in your life, in your home, in your apartment, and I scratch my head as to the validity of it. And all the while, because you're not controlling your mind, you're not able to exercise your peace. Christ has given us a peace. We need to exercise it. I said this morning, that lady right there and me, when folks come to this altar, most of the time we deal with thinking. Most of the time we deal with thinking. We have to screw your heads on right. Because you get thinking weird thoughts and strange thoughts. Thoughts that are not thoughts of faith. Thoughts of joy, thoughts of happiness. You get to thinking strange things about your life, your companion, others in the congregation, all sorts of things, and we got to straighten out your thinking. If you can straighten out your own thinking or keep your thinking straight, you'll be surprised how much more peace you will have in your own soul. You won't be given to fear. And so, again, some of you are predisposed to fear. Amen. Some are predisposed to picking up the flu easily. Some of you are just predisposed to fear. It just kind of runs in the family. It's almost genetic. And though it's not genetic, it is something that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's all in how you think. To think only of our problems and grievous circumstances and not of our blessings and joyous circumstances is to let our heart, just us leaving our heart, be troubled and to be afraid. We need to call a halt to these thoughts. Say, it's enough. That's enough. Some of you need to develop a new pattern of thought instead of the old pattern. Man, you need to change some things. And if you get tired of it, if you get tired of all the unrest and the uncertainty in your own life, you might get to the place where you say, yeah, I believe that counsel, and I just need to handle myself. Handle ourselves to the point, think of God in such a way that He is our refuge, our strength, that He indeed is a present help in time of trouble. That type of thinking is a check to sorrow, and it brings an end to fear. I will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. True people of faith have a responsibility to exercise such control. Whether you like it or not, you have a responsibility. I've preached many times, I've used the scripture often, that we need to be good stewards of the manifold graces of God. The manifold graces of God that He's put within our heart. Peace is one of those graces. And we need to be a good steward of it. And you're responsible for it. And if you don't maintain it, and you don't use it, and you do not nurture it, and if you allow your thoughts, amen, to block it from working in your best interests, amen, in the best interest of your family, amen, in the best interest of your testimony in the community, you're failing your responsibility. We have a responsibility. It's not optional. I want to make this very clear. It's not optional. Too many folks, amen, in this congregation think that serving God, this and that, and this that God says, and that that God says, and this that the pastor preaches, and that which the pastor preaches, and that which Sister Carnes teaches is optional. It's not optional. This isn't optional. It's only optional as if you want to backslide. You've got the option. Who wants to take that course of action? Any God-fearing man or woman doesn't want to backslide. It's a responsibility. It's been given to us. It is. True people of faith have a responsibility to exercise control. We have a responsibility to exercise control of our mind, amen, and also our emotions. But if you don't control your thoughts, you will not be able to control your emotions. There's a power within you. God put it there through the new birth. Greater is He that's within you through two works of grace. You've been given, amen, the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not left there. It's not been given to you just to lay there dormant. Dormant. If all you want to do is have a church profession, a church belonging profession, there's a lot of places around here that'll give you that. You can be a Lutheran, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be a United Methodist, you can be Church of Christ. But that's not the way we do things here at the Church of God. You have to have more than just, I'm a member of, and I'm brother, and I'm sister. We went over that this morning. What God has given to us, we need to be a good steward of it. And we can't leave it dormant. Amen. That which we can do, we ought to do. Because God requires it. God requires it. We've got to do it. It's not optional. It's not when I get around to it. It has to be done. This is a time, amen, for action. Now. You're all concerned about wiping surfaces down. I saw the sisters after church, amen, wiping down handles and strike plates and doorknobs and things like that. Good for you. We're being proactive. If it will help, we're doing that. But what about being proactive spiritually? Amen. What about putting concentration on the things we ought to do? If you can do it, that which we can do, you ought to do. Because God requires it. And because the doing of it is essential to our well-being and our right conduct. I want to behave myself like a man of God through all this. I want to handle myself. I want to be in control of my emotions. I want my thoughts to be right. I want the meditation of my heart, amen, the words of my lip, amen, to be pleasing unto God. It's important. Amen. It ought to be important to you. Run around frantic. God gets no glory. Constantly in fear, God gets no glory. Amen. Shut yourself in your home. That is near impossible unless you're in your upper 80s and unable to freely get around. Brother Keller's in his upper 80s. He's closer to 90 than he is to 80. That brother still likes to go. He likes his freedom. He likes getting that old Toyota of his and come to church. Man. He wants to go. He doesn't want to be shut up. Now we ourselves, we have to realize we can't shut ourselves away. We can't shut ourselves away in our homes. There's life to be lived. Amen. We got to live life. God calls us all to do difficult things. God is always required of his church to do the difficult. I brought that thought this morning. Through all of time, he is always required of his people to do the difficult. But that which he requires us to do is not above our ability to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to let the power of God rest upon us. In ourselves, we'll be just like the world. But if we rely on the power of God, the power of Christ, amen, working through us, what a difference it will make. Will it not? Of course it will. Amen. In Luke 21, 13, used the scripture, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. In all that we go through, in all that the church has gone through, and I use the three Hebrews and Daniel and Jesus Christ himself on the cross. Those crises, those things, the difficult things that God's people have had to go through, if they continue to look to him and trust him, it shall turn to you for a testimony. In verse 14 it says, settle it therefore in your hearts. You need to have it settled, saints. We can't be wavering. Amen. In your patience, possess your souls. Now, some new material tonight. Faith does not mean we ignore the obvious. I used the thought this morning, getting a little ahead in my outline. We can't be oblivious to the obvious. We cannot be oblivious to the obvious. Faith does not mean we ignore the obvious. What we're dealing with today as a nation, what we're dealing with today within our region, our schools, what you're dealing with, school, work, it's very obvious. And we can't ignore it. We can't deny it. And say, you know, it's has no consequence. It does have consequence. Could have serious consequence. Could have a serious consequence on the elderly and those that have a serious medical pre-existing medical conditions. It could be very, very hurtful, very harmful. Could result in death. We can't ignore the obvious. Man, well, I don't believe that. Well, there's some things we should believe. There's some things that are rather obvious. But faith does not mean we ignore the obvious. Faith does not make us mindless. Faith does not make us insensible. Faith ought to just help us to be more aware. And realize we're going to prayer. We're going to prayer. We're looking to God. We're trusting God. But for what reason? If everything is so incoincidental and there's no repercussion, no consequence, then why do we pray? We pray, we have faith because of what we see is obvious and we know the ramifications and we understand the harm that can come. Faith does not mean we ignore the obvious. Christ's words of counsel, his counsel. You go back to that. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These words of counsel do not imply that we should harden our hearts against the obvious peril. Doesn't mean we should harden ourselves, ignore it. No, not at all. It doesn't mean we should harden our hearts against the obvious peril or the due influence that we see because of the grievous things, that the circumstances that are befalling our nation and individuals. People are losing their lives. We shouldn't shut our eyes. This advice that Christ gives us, it doesn't mean we should shut our eyes to danger or threatening sorrow. Doesn't mean any of that. Amen. We have to be aware. We have to be very aware. And we have to know the reason why we're praying and why we're going to God. And we have to have a full belief that God will take care of us and that God will succor us and God will be there no matter what, amen, befalls us. Amen. That faith will work. That faith doesn't fail its reward. But we certainly can't, amen, grow blind to the danger that's out here. Man, doesn't mean we need to consume every media report and read every article. Doesn't mean that. But it does mean, amen, that we need to remain aware. God help us. God help us when it comes to our faith. Because we have faith doesn't mean we're immune from sorrow. Doesn't. Amen. Life is full of sorrow. To the young, to the very young, and to the young person, their experience with sorrow is pretty limited. But those of us that have lived life for a while, we have been acquainted with sorrow, just like our Savior. He says, acquainted with sorrow, a man of grief. Amen. Life is full of grief. Life is full of sorrow. There is much about life which is good, and I would like to think in my life that I've enjoyed far more blessings than I ever have trials and persecution and heartache. I know I have. I know I've enjoyed more of God's blessings than sorrow or heartache, but I've had my share of sorrow and I've had my share of heartache and troubles and trials and things that have weighed down my spirit. I've had that. But if we give in to sorrow, it'll bring confusion. That's where this peace has to overrule. Amen. If we give in to panic, panic rules. If we give in to fear, fear rules. If we give in to dread, dread rules. And then how do we go about life? We go about gloomy, we go about fearful, we go about nervously, we go about just all consumed with our worry and our panic. And really, what good are we? We're not very good at all. We're not much good at home, certainly not much good when it comes to leading others to truth. We're not any good in the congregation. Man, you could sit there and look at me if you want to, but this is all right. I hope that God, through the Word and through the Spirit, He puts the fork on the proverbial filling tonight. That this might make some of you uncomfortable, that you'll see yourselves a little better. If we give in to sorrow, if we give ourselves over to it, it confuses us. Sorrow, dread, panic. Oh, it brings confusion. Brings confusion. Brings vexation. It brings torment. It does. The worry of uncertainty, which erodes the confidence of a man of God, which also hinders the performance of duty and prohibits the enjoyment of present blessings, amen, it will work upon an individual so much that he or she will be hardly any good to the service of the master. If you're consumed about problems all the time, amen. Amen. See, I'm talking that faith does not mean that we need to ignore the obvious. But on the same thought, this peace that God has given to us and the advice He gives us, believe in Him, let not our hearts be troubled. It will cause us, even though we have concern, even though we have worry, that we are not consumed with our worry, amen, that it will not erode our confidence in God, that it will not render us ineffective, amen, in working for Him. But we can, as we've already read again, we can build a testimony around this if we have it settled in our hearts. A man may be burdened, yet he can still do his work. A man may be burdened, but he can still do his work. Brother Carnes, are you not burdened? Yes, I'm burdened. Are you concerned about all this? Obviously, I told you tonight. I need your prayers. I need to make the right decisions for this congregation in knowing how to deal with this, that we can keep the doors open, keep coming to church, and as long as we have that liberty to use that liberty, that we can continue to enjoy this freedom of gathering together, worshiping God as we choose. Yeah, it's a burden. But I'm not going to let this burden, I'm not going to let this worry consume me and erode my confidence in God, that I'm not able to do my work, that I'm not able to do my job. I'm not going to become a basket case over this. You'd be very disappointed if you had a pastor that way. Where's your pastor? He's a basket case. He went crazy. He's shell-shocked. Battle fatigue. He's running away from his responsibility. What's the Word of God tell us about the hireling? He's the one that flees. But God's given you a pastor, amen, after His own heart, that continues to feed you with knowledge and understanding, that continues to stand in the gap, that's an overseer, that you can have confidence in. Amen. Many times I've been burdened, but that doesn't give me an excuse to shirk my job, to stop doing my work. Amen. A man may be burdened and yet do his work. A man may have faith and be burdened. Burdened by the obvious and still be very good at his job and carry, amen, a load and get some things done. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's one of the problems. A problem, Brother Carnes? Your humanity ever a problem? Well, I'm saved and sanctified. You're still human. Get a comprehension of doctrine. Get an understanding, amen, what these two works of grace are about. It doesn't make us unhuman. We're still human. We still deal with that humanity. Amen. The failings of humanity. We still deal with the worry and the concern. Amen. The emotions, the thoughts. I've been talking about this. Control the thoughts. You'll be able to control the emotions. Get the thoughts in line and you'll be able to source that peace that he's given to you. We're still human. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's earthen vessels mean? It means these bodies. It means these bodies. They're human. They get tired. They do worry. Sometimes they fret. Amen. Sometimes they need cheered up, like some of you need cheered up tonight. You need cheered up. Sitting there, amen, with your faces turned down, mouths turned down. Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Brother Carnes, the obvious, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. You know, that parade was canceled in Pittsburgh. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not trust him and doubt or shout? He'll be sorry you worried it all tomorrow morning. Cheer up, you saints of God, there's nothing to worry about. We'll sing, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not trust him and shout? He'll be sorry you worried it all tomorrow morning. Huh? Yeah. You can be happy. I'm tired, Brother Carnes. It's been a long day. Get control of your emotions. You're thinking wrong. Change the way you're thinking. I'm just enduring this. I know, I can tell. I can tell. It's so evident. It's so obvious. But you know what? I still have faith that I'm going to preach this regardless of how you look. Word God says you got to preach. You can't be afraid of their faces. And I'm not going about to be afraid of you. I've never been that way. And I'm not going to start. I'm going to carry the message to you. These earthen vessels. The humanity. Are you aware of your humanity? Are you aware of the failings of your humanity? You better be. You better be. Chances are everybody else is. You may not be aware of it, but chances are your wife is, your husband is, your children is, those that are close to you. Chances are your pastor is aware. You should be aware. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in these earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Why would I want to hinder the power of God working through me? Man, get a hold of your mind, Keith. Get a hold of your mind, Keith. That's my name. Keith Carnes. You ever talk to yourself? Get a hold of your mind. Stop thinking like that. Man, don't go down that road. You like walking those dreary roads? It's all dark. Huh? You know those roads? Those roads where the apple trees come alive and they got faces and they throw apples at you. Huh? I don't like that. I don't like going down those dark roads. What are you thinking that way for? Stop it right now. I want the power of God to be seen. I don't want to stifle the power of God that he's placed within my heart. Now Paul says, I'm working with this point, a man can be burdened yet do his work. We are troubled on every side, Paul says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul says here in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 4, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Thank the Lord. The world just doesn't need to see our weak earthen vessels all the time. Our lack of control, our emotions, our sourpuss disposition, our lack of faith. What kind of testimony is that of a, amen, the power of salvation, the hope of salvation? I want, amen, I want people to see Jesus in me. Amen, that his life, amen, might be manifest in this body. He gave me his peace. He told me, amen, don't be afraid, believe in me. All right then, why should I hinder it? Shouldn't I nurture it? Shouldn't I be a good steward of it? Shouldn't I get all of it out, all of it that I can? I don't want to get before Christ on that last day and hear him tell me, I gave you this. Why didn't you make it more than what it was when I first gave it to you? The parable of the talents. Amen. Amen. That brings it home, saints. Will I be called in judgment because I wasn't a good steward over that grace? Absolutely. Why would it be written in God's word if he didn't mean it? He doesn't say stuff he doesn't mean. Sorrow and worry. Worry of the uncertainty. We can't do nothing about tomorrow. Sufficient is the evil thereof. We can't do anything about tomorrow. All we control is us. All I can control is Keith A. Carnes. I can't control her. She can't control me. I can work to be a positive influence on her and vice versa, but I can't control her. All we can do is control ourselves. Bob Roxbury, the only person you can control is yourself. Amen. She can't control you. Jim Kressler, the only one you can control is yourself. You can't control anything about tomorrow. You got to control yourself. What if, what if, what if? You dealing what ifs? You spend today worrying about tomorrow? Huh? It's not healthy. It's not healthy, saints. Amen. But that said, we can carry a healthy burden, and still be effective in our work. This scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 6-10 is proof of that. Paul was troubled on every side. He was perplexed. He was persecuted. He was cast down. He was always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But think of what he accomplished. Think of what he did. Let's go to the thought of fear. The thought of fear, and we're going to spend a little time here dealing with fear. Faith does not mean we ignore the obvious. Go back and pick up some thoughts here. Christ's words of counsel do not imply that we should harden our hearts against what is obvious. The due influence of that which is grievous, shut our eyes to danger or threatening sorrow, but they do forbid and condemn. You say, Brother Carnes, those are strong words. Why not make them strong? Does Christ forbid and condemn some things? Does he condemn and forbid some activity? Well, yeah, of course, sin. What he forbids and condemns some other things besides sin. He condemns this unreasonable sorrow of heart. He condemns this unreasonable worry. He condemns that. that renders us ineffective. But he also, amen, condemns and forbids fear, unhealthy fear. He forbids and condemns it. That's taken it a little bit too far. I don't believe it's taken that far at all. You just don't know your Bible. You just haven't read, amen, about Christ and how he put condemnation down on fear and how he put condemnation down on a lack of faith. He forbids it. He condemns it. The sound advice which Christ gives is based on the, now listen to this, it's based on the strong assumption that we as children of God possess sources of joy which are greater than the causes of our sorrow. Am I over your head here? Am I over your head? Picking up good vibrations over here. They do wrong. Picking up good vibrations here. People say, not at all. How about the rest of you? Am I over your head? You have to think here. There's some challenging points here. I wish you would just preach on something and make me feel good. I wish you'd get an appreciation for the deeper things of God, that it would fortify you and strengthen you for the present battle. You're getting sound advice for this troubled time in which we live in. When Christ gives this advice, let not your heart be troubled. My peace I've given to you. So there's really no reason for you to be troubled. That's what he's saying. There's no reason to be overly troubled that you lose your soul and that you stop being an effective child of God, an effective worker for me. I gave you peace. Why don't you channel it? Why don't you use it? So his advice, amen, is based on the strong assumption that the child of God possesses sources of joy that are greater than the causes of his sorrow. Do some inventory. Are the sources of your joy greater than the causes of your sorrow? That's fair. That's fair. That's what he's assuming here. The cause of your joy, peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. Amen. Peace. Joy. Contentedness. Love. Amen. The sources of my joy are greater than the causes, amen, of my sorrows. I'm drawn words from phrases from songs, but the one song says, my sorrows were so many, my pleasures were so few. Huh? That's the way I used to live. What I thought was a good time was in reality just condemning my soul to hell. It was ruining me. So it was with you. My pleasures, they were so few. But now I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's another song. Amen. Is it fair for Christ to assume that we as children of God, saved and sanctified people, should have greater sources of joy than causes of sorrow? Is that fair? I think it's fair. As the one who was, I've already referenced this, he was acquainted, amen, he knew grief and sorrow. He knew it. But what else is said about him? The joy that was set before him, a greater joy. We have that joy that's set before us. But saints of God, let's be honest here. God blesses us. Amen. This field, amen, the fields of Zion, they yield 1,000 sacred sweets. Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we hit the fields of heaven or walk those golden streets. Another song? Amen. The source of my joy, the source of my joy, Lord, you assume correctly for this man since I've been saved and sanctified. I'll take the advice. You're making the right assumption. You're talking to me in terms that I can understand. You're giving me credit for having great sources of joy that outweigh my causes of sorrow. I accept that, Lord. It's true. It also assumes that his love, that our love, the child of God's love, our love, our love for God has been perfected. We're getting down to it here. We're getting down to it. We're getting down to the cause of fear amongst people. The cause of fear, the lack of confidence. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We're getting down for the right here for the very so-called elect. Why there is fear, why there's a lack of confidence, why there is an erosion of confidence in troubled times amongst the very elect, those that sit in the congregation. We get right down to this thought of perfected love. Do you know what perfected love is? Perfected love. 1 John 4. Yeah. Yeah. He assumes that the sources of our joy are much greater than the causes of our sorrow. And he gives this thought with the strong assumption that our love for God has been perfected. This is not too much. This is how it ought to be. 1 John 4, I'm going to read to you from the Amplified, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love, mature love, turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. That's perfect love. That's a perfected love. That's a mature love. It turns every fear out of doors and it expels every trace of terror. That's why he said, let not your hearts be troubled. I gave you something that the world could never give you. Don't be afraid. Believe in me. Perfect love, amen. It turns fear out of doors. It expels every trace of terror, for fear brings with it the thought of punishment. Fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. He has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Perfected love. You may be sitting out here and saying, you know, I've heard this said, I've read this scripture, it's been read in Sunday school class, I've read it in devotions, you've brought it in preaching. But you could be sitting here perplexed, wondering, what is perfected love? Well, what is perfected love? It's not as hard as what you think. It's not as, if the word says that we can have a perfect love, that it drives out fear, because fear has torment. If God says we can have a perfected love, then shouldn't it be attainable? Are we questioning whether you and I can have a perfect love? Are we questioning? Then maybe we ought to go question, is it possible to live free from sin? Maybe we ought to question then, is there a second cleansing, amen, that cleanses the nature of carnality? Maybe we start questioning these things. Questioning God brings unbelief. And making yourself an exception from the word of God is not a good thing to do. Because you'll be swept up with a spirit of unbelief. Amen. A perfected love is attainable. It's not beyond our reach. Amen. Get it out of your head. Get this thought. We can't have a perfected love. When are you waiting for a perfected love to come? A perfect love in Christ. When we get to heaven, you're no better than the Babylonians. Can't wait to get to heaven. We'll stop sinning once we get to heaven. You'll never get into heaven. Well, with that thought, amen, you'll never be able to overcome your battles with the victory God wants you to have. Truly believe him unless you have a perfect love on this side of eternity. It's not beyond our grasp. It's there, amen, for us to have. What then is a perfected love? Perfect love casts out fear. Sounds like something we could all use, huh? We have these earthen vessels. It's one of the frailties of the humanity is fear. We deal with it. Amen. Well, if perfect love casts out fear, amen, and we know that fear has torment, then that's something I need. That sounds good. That sounds good. I don't have to be sold on it. I believe it. Sign me up for it. You've already been signed up for it. When you got saved, you got signed up for it. What's a perfect love then? What is perfected love? First thing, it's an awareness. The Savior has charge of us individually. Huh? Can you throw your doubt away? Can you throw your emotions? Can you control them? Can you control your thoughts? And therefore control your emotions? And can you take it in that the Savior has charge of you individually? He cares for you individually. He knows the way that you take. Every one of us. Every one of us at once. Every one of us at once. Do you have that awareness? Well, you're on your way, amen, then to perfected love. Amen. An awareness, the Savior has charge of us individually. Number two, what then is perfected love? The assurance the Father loves us. Is that hard to believe? Do you believe the Father loves you? The Heavenly Father, do you believe He loves you? Do you love Him? Number three, what is perfected love? The consolation. He has a place prepared for us. Where? Where? Be careful before you answer. Be careful before you answer. Huh? Hey, I need this thing on this side of eternity. So He has a place prepared for us while living. And for eternity. That's perfected love. Do you believe that? God has a place prepared for us, every one of us individually, in this life. He knows where, amen, His will is going to lead me. And as long as I stay in His will, His grace will keep me. He has a place prepared for me. He's given His angels charge over me. Amen. It's like Brother Minnick rolling that little car of his over. Just a little dinky thing. I don't know how that big, lanky brother could have fit in there. Just a little white car. Now it's beat up horribly. And he was trying to get out of the way of a deer. And off the road he went. Amen. Rolled over three times. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom. Three times. Did God know about that? He knew about it before it even happened. Why didn't he die? Because it wasn't God's will. Why was it all that he had was some bruises and scrapes and bumps on the noggin? And you know what a noggin is? You know what a noggin is? Huh? He's sore, maybe a little bruised. Why? God knew. Perfected love is having a consolation that he has a place prepared for us while living and for eternity. We can sing that song, there is a place prepared for me, a mansion right beyond the sea, a room for him in heaven. Huh? That's the way some of you sing. Yeah, I believe heaven holds all to me. He's got a place for me, prepared for me in heaven. My Father's house has many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you this. Don't you believe he has a place prepared for you today? Huh? He's had a place prepared for me, really, in all reality, even when I wasn't saved. He was looking down on me. And he pursued me. And he saw me when I was astray. And he loved me so much. Amen. He came after me. You talk about love. Why shouldn't I have a perfect love in him? Amen. He pursued me. Amen. When I was running away from him. He saw me. Amen. In the depths of my sin. The wickedness. Amen. Amen. The reproachable, ugly, nasty, filthy things. That's your testimony. He was still looking at you. He was still coming for you. And he had a place prepared for you. At that time, amen, it was a place of conviction. Thank God for that place of conviction. Amen, if we had the chart out, we'd point you to the court of conviction. There's a place of conviction. That's where some of you need to get. Brother, amen, Jeremy, you need to get to the court of conviction. You need to get into conviction, that place of conviction. So do you two guys. Why can this young man come to the place of conviction like that? And you guys drag your feet getting there. What he had with place was prepared was conviction for me. That's where I needed to be, conviction. I got to conviction. God dealt with my soul. And I brought all those wicked and ugly sins, things I didn't even want to talk about, things I still don't even want to think about today. And he saved me, he washed me in the blood, and he forgot every one of them. Thank the Lord, glory to God. He had a place prepared for me. It was called conviction. He had another place prepared for me. Once I entered the holy place, he had another place prepared for me. It was the holiest of all. I need to go in, amen, in the very presence of God, I need to be sanctified. Another place prepared. I need to get sanctified. Don't look strange at me. Don't twist your head like you don't understand this. This is basic Church of God 101. Shouldn't be so perplexing. It's called sanctification. The need for deeper grace. He had a place prepared. Who prepared? Who made the preparation? Christ did. He suffered without. Suffered without the gate. Got sanctified. He's always had a place prepared for me. He had a beautiful church, amen, for me to enter. One of those gates on the side, one of those three gates on each side, I entered one of them. He had a place prepared for me. He's had a place prepared for me in my battles, in my troubles. But thank God, saints, amen. Thank God, amen, amen, for the well that's found in the valley of Baca. Praise the Lord. Amen, there's a place there. I know I'm getting into some Old Testament, but I believe you're with me. Thank God in that dry place. Amen, there springs up a well. Well, hallelujah. Or that song that says, amen, amen, from the rock in front of me. Amen, a spring of joy I see. Amen, my sources of joy. Amen, are far greater than my causes of sorrow and discouragement. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. How many valleys in your life has he filled with water? How many times, amen, has he told you, dig some ditches? I'm going to fill them up. Dig some ditches. I'm going to fill them up. He's always had a place prepared for his saints. We don't have to put this off for heaven. We can be assured, amen, and we can take his word, his advice. My Father's house has many mansions. Take it. Believe it. But also believe, amen, amen, the sources of our joy are far greater because he's prepared them. They're far greater, they're far numerous, amen, than our causes for sorrow. Man, how can you go around with a big, long face when God has a storehouse full of grace? Life is not that bad. What we're going through now is not going to be that bad. What if we die? Well, there's a place prepared. We'll cry. We'll be sorrowful. But please don't be offended. Even though we'll be sorrowful over you going on, the sources of my joy will still be far greater than having to say goodbye to you. Glory to God. This is rich. It's worth, amen, it's worth the trip down into the valley of nuts, saints. It's worth the trip. It's worth diving after the pearls, saints. Amen. And bringing them up and spreading out, amen, for you people. I hope you appreciate it. Oh, God takes care of us. A knowledge, amen, a consolation. He has, what a strong consolation. He that has fled to Jesus, what a strong consolation. A place is prepared for us while living and for eternity. Number four, what is perfected love? It's the knowledge a comforter has been sent to abide with us forever. You have that knowledge? See, this is all about awareness, assurance, consolation, a knowledge. It's all very positive. Do you have the knowledge that a comforter has been sent to abide with us forever? Christ said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Don't fret, don't worry. I'm going to send you another comforter. And he did on the day of Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, amen, Christ promised he would abide with us forever. Make the trusting heart his home. Praise the Lord. Number five. What then is perfected love? It's the experience that Jesus does give us his peace, which is unlike anything the world can provide. I have that experience. All positive things here. The assurance, the awareness, the assurance, the consolation, the knowledge, the experience. Thank God I've got experience. Experience, amen, that Jesus has given me, amen, his son, his child, a peace which is unlike anything the world can provide. He said it himself. He says, I gave you my peace. This isn't like what the world gives. That's perfected love. Is any of that too hard? Huh? Is any of that too hard? I hope you wrote it down. I hope it settles some questions in your mind. I hope it brings you to a realization. This isn't above us. This isn't something hard to figure out. And if you know these things, you know what it'll do? It will turn fear right out the door. Right out the door. It'll turn it out of the house, out the door. You'll slam the door on it. Why? Because you know, amen, your Savior has charge over you individually. You'll have that assurance that the Father loves you. You'll have that consolation. He has prepared a place, amen, for you while you're living and also for eternity. And you'll have that knowledge that a Comforter has been sent. And He abides forever. And then you'll also have the experience. I've experienced it. I know it. The world never gave it to me. And the world can never, all this can never take it away. There's some dire consequences to fear. Dire consequences to fear. We could talk about health issues. We could talk about mental problems. We could talk about nervous breakdowns. We could talk about doing unreasonable things because of fear. But there are some eternal consequences to fear. Revelation 21, 7 to 8, lest we forget, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving. First two things mentioned. But the fearful and unbelieving, and it goes on and says, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell, eternal damnation. What's it say here? But the fearful and the unbelieving, there's eternal consequence to fear. The fearful and the unbelieving will have their part. And just how big of a part will that be? The word tells us that hell has enlarged itself. How big of a part in hell will be set aside for the fearful and the unbelieving? Fear has eternal consequence. We read this morning about men's hearts failing them for fear. Failing them for fear. I'd like to draw another passage in Luke 21 and 26 from the Amplified. Men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the very powers of heaven will be shaken and caused to totter. Amen. We're in a shaking time. Are you going to be shaken off because of fear? Because of dread? Because of unbelief? Are you going to swoon away? Are you going to die? Is your healthy heart going to fail you because you have given into fear and dread and apprehension? Amen. I've come to the end of this message. I have in my outline two sentences in bold cap letters. Believe the advice, ! Believe the record, ! Believe the advice. Believe the record. When God could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. Jesus can swear by no better than Himself. He gave the advice. He told us. We need to believe it. In John 20, verses 26 to 31, turn there as we come to a close. Thank you, Lord. I believe we've been sitting in heavenly places again this evening. Been worth it to come to church. Those of you that are home listening, I hope your souls were given a blessing. I know several of you at home listening. I'm glad for it. John 20 and 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Right? This was a greeting. This was a salutation. Peace be unto you. He said that to his disciples. They were troubled. They were troubled. They were fearful. They didn't know which way to turn. They didn't. They didn't know what was going to happen to them now. And he comes right into the room. Door's closed. He comes right into the room. There he is. Acts like nothing's going on. Oh, hi. I've been watching. I care for every one of you individually. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas. I've been reading your thoughts. I know all of your emotions. And he comes right, his presence fills the room, the doors are closed, and he comes in as it's just like nothing. He just, peace be unto you. How you doing? Then he looked at Thomas. He said, Thomas, you've been having problems with these thoughts here. You have peace here. You have the ability to believe, but something up here has been hindering it. He looked at Thomas. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Put it right into my side. Put it right where that soldier's spear went right into my... Just put it right into my side, Thomas. Do what I'm telling you. There was a reason for it. It says, and be not faithless. You need to remember what I told you when I was with you. I told you not to be afraid. I told you to believe. I told you I gave you peace that the world could never give you. I told you don't let your heart be troubled. Thomas, amen, if it might settle your heart, take that hand of yours and put it right in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. You can see he was astounded. My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Who is he talking about? Amongst others, he's talking about the Church of God at Conoquinessing, March 15, 2020. He's talking about us. Thomas, you had to put your finger in my wounds. Thomas, even to the extreme where you had to take your hand and put it right into my side. And because of that, you step back finally. You stop being faithless and your heart begins to believe and you proclaim, my Lord and my God. But he said, Thomas, you saw. You touched, you felt. But I'm going to have a church that's going to be called to go through some pretty difficult things. I'm going to ask them to perform difficult things. And they're going to be blessed because they haven't seen me like you've seen me, but yet they have believed. They've taken the advice and they've believed it. They've believed the record. They've believed the report. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Didn't make the pages of the book. Can you imagine? What's the song you sing? What were the other miracles? What were the other things? In verse 31, I like this. But these are written that you and me, might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These things are written. These things that made it are written that we could believe. In 2020, do you believe? Are you going to walk out of here still fretful? Are you going to go home stewing? Are you going to go home fearful? We need to pray like we prayed tonight for the leaders of our country, the leaders of our commonwealth, even the leaders of our county. We don't know what is going to be mandated. We don't know what is going to be told us to do. But we need to pray for our president, for our governor, for our commissioners. And as I've already asked you, I have it in my outline. Pray for your pastor too. Pray for me. We need to obey civil law as much as possible. But Carnes' word says we need to obey God over man. Well, sure we do. But it's also written, amen, that we need to obey the magistrates. And we need to pray for our leaders. And we need to pay our taxes. What's all that mean? We need to be law-abiding citizens. We need to pray that we can live at peace, live a peaceful life. So we need to obey civil law as much as possible. We don't need to be renegades and lawless people. Man. In Romans 15 and 13. Turn there, because this is the last scripture I'm going to give you. Did I say Romans? Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Everything we preached is kind of summarized in that verse there. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Build a testimony around this. Have it settled in your heart. Through what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that comforter that abides forever. Brother Micah, please come.